Talk to you, Mr. Duggan. I'm Alf. You've been very kind allowing me to call you Alf. Can you just tell me for the tape your name and date of birth, please?
My name is Alfred Duggan, call me Alf for short. And the date of birth is the 22nd of the 5th, 1912, 86.
Now, I believe you've been driving taxis and vehicles around Douglas for many years.
Yes, I've been driving taxis and what have you, and various other cars around Douglas, and, 62 years.
And you must have driven a lot of visitors in that time.
Yes, I have driven very many visitors, especially during the summer months.
And can you tell me a bit about what it was like on those summer days in the 50s and 60s when you were driving a lot of the island's tourists around, where you picked them up, what your working day would be like?
Well, the best part to pick the tourists up was on their afternoon boats generally, and these tourists would like to go around various places on the island. I at that time had a very nice car, an Armstrong Siddeley. The number was CMN431, 30 horsepower car, a landaulette. Now on a real summer's day, you had maybe six people, maybe go around the island. You'd start off from Douglas, you continue, maybe you go around the north of the island first. So you would stop generally at the Laxey. You would show the people round about Laxey, and then you would continue up to the Laxey Wheel, which is the Lady Isabella. This is very interesting. The Lady Isabella, all the parts were sent most likely from Lancashire, but assembled on the island. There was a little cafe up there, and people could have a nice cup of tea, something to eat. And then after the Lady Isabella, by the way, the diameter of the wheel was 227 and a half feet. Nevertheless, after that, we used to continue then to the Laxey Glen Gardens, and they were quite nice. And Mr. Matt Armour, the Lancashire lad, he used to run that little pub there. And also he used to engage wrestlers during the season. And it was quite good. Then we would continue then on to Ramsey, where when we got to Ramsey, we would definitely visit the Moodog Park. Now the Moodog Park was a beautiful park, and we'd let our passengers maybe have half an hour walking around the park. And after the park, then we would go along the quayside and see some of the old sailors there and have a little chat with them. Afterwards, we would then continue possibly to Peel. And then when we were off carrying on to Peel, we would see the beauty of the island. The island was really beautiful. You go along to Peel there, and the sea there was beautiful, and the people, the passengers, especially in the car, they would tell you, you'd be telling them all about different things and what have you, and this, that, and the other, and you'd look through your mirror, your driving mirror, and then all of a sudden you'd see all your people fast asleep. The fresh air would put them right to sleep. Well, then you had to, when we got to Peel, you'd give them a little bit of a shake, wake them up. And sometimes we had their lunch, their dinner in Peel. We used to go to Mike Bredner's place, an hotel on the promenade. And he used to have a lovely lunch there. Then after the lunch, we would chew around Peel. Peel is noted for definitely the kipper industry. All the herring boats went to Peel, put their catches in Peel, Then they were collected and then taken to the curing yard for kipper curing. Now, I used to take many, many parties to let them see how the kippers were getting cured. And believe me, it was nice to see them. You could smell the kippers all for miles away. Beautiful, fresh kippers, well known all over the world. And people who came across the island would not go back without a box of kippers. Well, after we'd had a little stay in Peel, we would then continue on to Port Erin. Now, Port Erin definitely is a beautiful place, a lovely bay, nice ships, and also nice golden sands, especially for the children to play in. Well, we cruised around Port Erin, visited the shops, nice shopping centre, and then we went along and we came across Rushen Abbey. Now, Rushen Abbey, very, very old place, very pretty. Thousands of people went there. You pulled in there, maybe I pulled in with a taxi, but many, many dozens of coaches and taxis would fill the big park they had. Well, you went in through the entrance there, and what you see in Rushen Abbey was beautiful peaches growing up the walls, and also people sat down there in the open, strawberries and cream. Well, many of my passengers would go down looking round, and even Rushen Abbey, they did, by all means, make their own strawberry jam. Now, the strawberry jam they made was lovely. And one thing about Rushen Abbey, when we took a party, especially a taxi, or if we took a coach, they always give you a little ticket at the turnstile. And that ticket would entitle you to 1 pound of jam. Now, if that was a taxi. Now, if you were on a coach, you got 2 tickets, so you got 2 pounds of jam. Well, we used to keep these tickets, and at the end of the season, you may have about 50 or 60 pounds of jam. Lovely strawberry jam. Do it all the winter, and then after the party was satisfied, they'd seen all round about, whatever they want to see, we then proceeded to Douglas. And going to Douglas, between Rushen Abbey and Douglas, we come across a little bridge, Bellona Bridge, called the Ferry Bridge. Now, the Ferry Bridge, by all means, you had to make a little wish, and if you're wearing a hat, you always had to take your hat off to the little people. Matter of fact, you may think that I'm joking with you, but in 1963 in the season, we were approaching the bridge with a party, royalty, and there were little gnomes and little fairies on that bridge. The cars pulled up. Watched the little fairies and gnomes, bid them good day, and away we went. Now, that brought headlines, it was in our papers. Well, we proceeded then on to Douglas. And then, when we were going down the quayside in Douglas, the North Quay, there's where all the fish markets were and what have you. And believe me, the party always said, don't pass this fish market, pull up here. We want to get our Manx kippers to take home with us.
And how much would the people have to pay to employ you and your taxi? Because that would be a whole day, would it?
Well, that would be a good half day's tour, that. A good half day's tour. I'm talking about a half day's tour, in about 6 hours. And that would costs in the region. Those days, the taxis were very cheap, and of course, you could get more for your money. So it would cost in the region of about £3 to £3.50. And petrol was cheap at that time also, £2 and £3 a gallon. But we were all, everyone was happy, the cabbies were happy, and they enjoyed that, what you call, taking the tourists to and fro, wherever they wanted to go, and it all went off like that. But
would there be many other drivers like yourself doing those tours in the taxis?
Yes, there were many drivers. Altogether, I would say there were well over 100 taxi drivers, well over 100, and there would be about approximately 90 taxi licenses. Also, I must say, the Garden of Promenade in Douglas, you had many stands in the promenade. You had one of the Queen's Promenade, which was over by Hillary Guards, the Hydro, and the Queen's Promenade. And you also had another at the Esplanade, which was a big coach firm was there, A. E. Clegg's Esplanade Coaches. And then you had the main stand, which was Broadway, and that was called the Colonel's Road. Well, there would be either three or four coaches on those stands, but there was also two or three taxis right behind. But the most important place, really, of the lot was definitely the bottleneck. The bottleneck, where, there, as I mentioned, there were many, many taxis, 40 or 50 taxis, and in the morning, early mornings, I'd say around about 10 o'clock, the most important place where the people used to go at that time would be Douglas Head. Now, Douglas Head used to go to the Head Hotel, but just below the Douglas Head Hotel, there was the minstrels, what they call the Black Minstrels. These were quite little group of people, and they had one show in the morning around about 10:30 and one show in the afternoon. In the evening they were generally over at Feldman's in Strand Street. You could get a little book in Feldman's. You used to go through three pence. And as the minstrels, going back to Douglas Head, it was only sixpence, the entrance fee. Sixpence for an adult, threepence for a child under 14. But the minstrels used to go around with a little bag, collecting what they call would be for tips. And they were truly well earned, whatever they got.
And well, can you just tell me where the bottleneck was?
The bottleneck was situated right opposite the Jubilee Clock. The Jubilee Clock at Victoria Street, between Victoria Street and on the promenade. Buses, especially Upper Douglas buses, All Saints, Wymouth, Bradder buses, they used to come down Victoria Street and were very, very busy, the buses. There must have been roughly about 50 buses on different routes. And they used to come down Victoria Street, turned on the Jubilee Clock, which was a good roundabout for them, and they used to park the buses just near about, just past the wine lodge at Yates's. Then they take up their service, Upper Douglas, All Saints, wherever they were going. But
what would be the busiest time for you at the bottleneck?
The busiest time at the bottleneck for us, really speaking, especially for Douglas Head, would be from 10 o'clock in the morning until 11 o'clock. Taking people from the bottleneck up to Douglas Head, they went to the Head Hotel, the Periots, they used to call the Periots the Swanee Minstrel also. And if you had a six-seater, you'd done well. You used to get sixpence each for Douglas Head, a tanner ahead, he used to say, a tanner ahead. And then if you had the four-seater, well, You had 2 shillings for that trip, but if you had a 6 week, you had 3 shillings. But you would get maybe 6 coming back, so you had 6 shillings for the return journey. So it was quite good. And then the return journey, they used to come out of the hotel maybe around about 1 o'clock and then go for the lunches. After they had had their lunches in their hotels, they then would come along for afternoon trips. Now, afternoon trips, they would get these stands on the promenade I've just mentioned. They could get the Queen's Promenade outside the Hydro. They could get the Esplanade. They could get the Colonel's Road. And they could always get, especially taxi, to the Bottleneck. But the afternoon trips were short and sweet, maybe about 3 hours. You may go from the stand to Russian Abbey, or you may go to Port Erin, you may go to Peel. Now, Peel is a very interesting place also. When I went to Peel, I used to always take a party round to the Peel Castle. There's lots of history there attached to the Peel Castle. Now, for instance, a dog haunted the Peel Castle, the name of the Mordy Doo. It was a big black dog, and when it was a garrison, people were warned, the soldiers were warned, never to go to the guardroom alone, because this big black dog always appeared in this tunnel by the guardroom. One soldier, he thought himself, well, I'm not afraid of fire or foe. He went intentionally himself into the guardroom, and as he was walking through the tunnel, he was attacked by this dog. There was an awful scream, and then the soldiers in the guardroom ran out, and they seen their comrade lying on the floor. The dog had attacked them, but had disappeared. They had seen the dog, the guardsman, and where they seen him, they sealed that place up in the Peel Castle, and the Mordy Doo was never seen again.
I bet that used to get the visitors going, that story.
Yes, and there was also the Peel Cathedral was very nice, still nice. St. James Cathedral.
What was their favourite place? Did they used to ask you, where shall we go? Or did they always have the idea in their head where they'd like to go? What did they maybe, which one did they do?
They would ask you really, some people would ask you, where would you like, you know, to take them, any place of very importance. And some people used to know different places, and they would ask you to, sometimes, they were Americans especially, American people. They would come along and they would say, oh, I would like to know where my ancestors are. They were interned at Ramsey. Their name was Radcliffe. I remember I happened to go to Ramsey once with a party. And as we entered, you'd be surprised, there were hundreds of Radcliffes. Nevertheless, the gentleman had a family Bible, and he went back, and I received the letter, and he knew where his ancestors were buried. So anyhow, everything was satisfactory.
And I was just thinking, when you mentioned Americans, obviously they were known for perhaps having a little more money than the British. And, you know, would the sort of people that came on your taxi be a little bit better off than the people who went on the coaches? Or would they just be people who'd saved up the money for the trip because it was special?
No, not really. Coaches more so were... The coach driver, he would go around to different hotels in the morning, especially around maybe just before breakfast, and he would take bookings from these hotels of who was going perhaps around the island, or afternoon trips, or even evening trips. And, no, I don't think regarding what we call the garden, the taxis, whether it was rich or in Cork, but or courtiers. I think to myself, the parties went out to enjoy themselves, and if they wanted rights of courtesy, we'd all go together. And that was it, but more so with the taxi, well, they could get anywhere regarding down Little and Narrow Glens and things like that. But no, the coaches, they went and called, there was some very, very wealthy people used to go on coaches, and the coach drivers are very kind. And a funny thing, people always came back, one year after the other. One would say, hello, have you seen Gussie Crane and or the Doddles Connor, or something like that? Or, you know, like they would say, you know, like talk like that, or they're talking about their little call name. But really speaking, I've had many laughs in regard to the taxis.
What sort of things would people get up to?
Well, the best laugh I ever had was a little taxi I had one time, and I sold to another taxi driver. That was the Armstrong Siddeley, 1929, and it was a four-seater. I sold to another taxi lad, and he had the last run coming off the boat, evening boat. The porter come up, the porter's name was, I remember, his name was Donald Connor. He come up with a handcart, and it was like a double-decker bus. He said, I only want one seat in the front, but I want to put this luggage as much in as I can get. Nevertheless, he got the luggage in the car, in the back, and what have you, on the mud guard, and he come up the pier, very nice lady, sat in the front seat, over for the season, Tessie O'Shea. That taxi driver, what he was entitled to for that fare was half a crown. But she was a nice, kind lady, and the taxi driver, by all means, assisted getting the luggage in. But she's a nice, kind lady, Tessie O'Shea. But they were all nice characters, really. Derby Castle, they had Floddy Ford. The people there over in Derby Castle, by all means, could be feeling down and out. But when she got singing Floddy Ford, she ate the ball up. Villa Marina was excellent also. Gaiety Theatre, Pally D Dance, Crescent Leisure Centre, everywhere, picture houses, Royalty, Regal, Strand Cinema, Picture House. They were all really busy. It was really excellent seasons they had.
And would the visitors be mostly using the taxis to go on tours, or would they be mostly using the taxis from going from place to place particularly?
Well, they would like to go on, sometimes you're likely to go more so on tours, touring the island at different places. And they'd also like to, on a real warm day, all the landaulets were out, because the landaulets had a drop hood, and there were some beautiful cars. I would say, really speaking, all makes of cars. There was Austin's, there was Packard's, there was Hudson's, there was all makes of cars. I would say roughly, going through the whole lot, Woolsey's and Chrysler's and Cadillac's, I would say roughly there was about maybe 20 or 30 different types of cars in Hackney business at that time. And coaches, there must have been, I would say, covered the whole lot, there must have been around about 60, 70, maybe more coaches around about that used to take people all around the island. But there was also, as I mentioned, 90 licenses for taxis.
You also mentioned that you used to drive a bus for a couple of years on the promenade, and that was very busy.
Well, the buses were always very busy, especially. The promenade route was number one. And that was a very busy route there. I did drive a bus one time on the promenade. It was an old double-decker, Tilton Stevens. A very good bus, though. You could come along from Derby Castle and get near the Sefton Hotel. There was a little island in the centre there. You could turn from the pavement near side in between that and the island, no trouble with the lock. And the Tilton Stevens was used almost all for the promenade, number one route. And then he also had little other motors going along the promenade, little tow track. But that was only a small bus, and it was a 20-seater. It had Venetian blinds. As you went along, maybe in a rough day, maybe an odd rough day, and maybe the sea water was coming over, you would put the blind down on the shore side so that people wouldn't get wet.
And would you be picking them off the boat as well?
Yes, we picked them off the boat.
What was that like when the steamers would come in?
Well, when you picked them off the steamer, of the boat, you see, the little horse trams, they'd done an excellent public service. The little horse trams, they had at that time, I would say, maybe 30 or 40 horse trams, plus about 100 odd horses at that time. And they would go along down to the Victoria Pier, the very end, what they call the points, and they used to turn the car around. And the horse trams also were a public service, because they used to meet people coming off the boat and bring them along the promenade to their destinations, dropping different bus stops. But there was one bus stop near the Sandyford. The Sandyford is on the Queen's Promenade. Now, whether the conductor would get someone to say stop or not, but sometimes if there was nobody getting off, the tram would go right on. But there was a parrot at Sandyford, a bluey-grey parrot. And he got the horse tram, the whistle of the conductor. It was one to go. I'm sorry. It was one to stop and two to go and three for an emergency. Well, what would happen? The horse tram would be going past Sandyford and this parrot would blow once. He just whistled once. The horse tram would stop. Conductor didn't stop him. And then the biggest danger was, if anybody was going to step off, he'd whistle twice. And the result was that parrot had to be, by all means, put in the back entrance of the Sandyford, because in case there was anybody going to get hurt on the horse tram.
You don't think that the proprietor trained the parrot to get people to come off?
So I don't think he took any chance. I think he put him round the back, the parrot. But, the buses used to take an active part. When I was a bus driver myself, in the 36-37s, I used to go down the Victoria Pier, early in the morning, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, people coming in the boats. Must remember that the steam packet then had quite a number of boats. You could get 7 or 8 boats in of a morning, and of an evening also you would get quite a number, especially weekends. And buses would be down there, taking people to and fro, different routes, Promenade, Upper Douglas, Pull Rose, Circular, Request Tours, all over the place. And instead of having the break for your tea, an hour or so, the manager would just say to you, we've got no time. These are days when you had to work many, many hours. You've got no time. We'll have to, nip up and get something to eat up in the road service cafe and charge it to the corporation. Well, that's what we used to do of a weekend. But we didn't mind, because you got that break, and that was the most important thing. But buses, horse trams, taxis, coaches, they were all on the move. TT Week was one of the main sources. On TT, you would get people there coming along wanted to go on the TT course. Some courses would be parked on the promenade, some down to Victoria Pier, some by the Rendezvous Cafe, that's near the Sefton Hotel, and you load up people, coaches and taxis, and down the TT course you would go. That time you could go both ways. You could Ramsey and you could go Douglaside. But you got maybe one or two runs, trips round the TT course, and that by all means would put you up for the day. You'd say, well, we're going to have a good day today. The taxis would, or the coaches. And it went on and on like that, and everything, really speaking, little island over here, it was really very, very, very busy.
Especially. I'm just thinking also about the hotels and the guest houses on the promenade. Were there, would people ever ask you to recommend one to them, or is there anything you recall about, you know, ones you used to visit regularly, or people you knew in them?
Well, people would inquire about hotels and boarding houses, etc. They would ask you where about, maybe a boarding house is on hotel, but they would.